Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. We like champions. We like people that are winners. We also like people that sometimes go through hard times, but we have with us today a winner. She is a member of the Indiana University women's basketball team, and she's not only a winner on the court, but she's a winner off the court also, as you will hear when she gives her testimony about how Jesus Christ is alive and well in her life. But her name is Amanda Cahill, and she is a 6'2 senior forward from Clyde, Ohio. Now, Clyde is not too far from my hometown of Lima, Ohio, but she ended up on the roster of the Indiana University basketball team, and not just a member of the basketball team, but a very key member of the basketball team. And this year, the Indiana University women's basketball team won what is called the WNIT. Now, the NIT, the National Invitational Tournament, is made up of men's teams, and the NIT is made up of men's teams that did not make the big dance. That's the one where you have 64 teams and you come down to the NCAAs, and of course that's watched a lot on TV, and you have all the brackets, and then the NCAAs this year were won by Villanova. The NIT is for teams that have played well and they get a chance to play, but they didn't quite get into the big dance. Same thing is true for the women. Now, Notre Dame won the women's NCAA, and I've got some irony for you on that in a minute, and I'll give that to you concerning our friend Allie Patberg. But the women's NIT was won this year by Indiana University. They knocked off Virginia Tech. They beat them 65-57. Now, the irony is that on the women's team is Allie Patberg. She's a redshirt. She's actually a redshirt sophomore. She's sitting out this year because she transferred from Notre Dame. So she actually was a member of the team that won the NCAA tournament and the team that won the WNIT, or the teams made up of teams that did not get into the 64 teams that we call the big dance. So can you imagine that? She's been a member of both teams, but she did not play this year because when you transfer from a Division I school to another Division I school, you have to sit out a year. And so she's sitting out this year, but next year she's going to be a part of this great Indiana University team. But our guest today is not Allie, although she's been on this show, but our guest today is Amanda Cahill from Clyde, Ohio. And I want to tell you a little bit about Amanda. 6'2 senior, averaged 15.3 a game, the second leading scorer on the team. She led the team in rebounds with 8 a game. The team itself went 22-14. They went 9-7 in the conference. And I happened to see one of their games on TV when they beat Michigan State in the Big Ten tourney. And it was a 4-overtime, 111-109 game. And I don't usually have a chance to see women's games on TV, but I happened to be somewhere. I think I was in a restaurant and the game was on. And caught my attention when they got into that 4-overtime game that they were playing at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. And they won that game 111-109, and Amanda had 38 points in that game. Now, in the championship game, she only had 12 points. That game was played at Indiana University's Assembly Hall, and they had 13,000 fans. Can you believe that? 13,000 fans for a women's game, and that's a lot of fans for a women's game, let me tell you. So Amanda Cahill is our guest. You're going to want to hear what she has to say, not just about the game. Now, we didn't have her for this game. We had her on the air a couple of years ago. So this interview goes back to where she talks about her high school career, talks about what it means to play for Indiana University, and talks about what it means to have Jesus Christ in her life. We'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear from Amanda Cahill of the Indiana University women's basketball team. Be back after this. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, well, welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. And today we've got with us a basketball player from Indiana University who's having a tremendous season. Her name is Amanda Cahill. She's a member of the IU women's basketball team. She is a 6'2 sophomore forward out of Clyde, Ohio. Clyde, Ohio. That's in Northern Ohio. What brought you to Indiana University?
I just really thought it was a good school, and I really like my teammates here, so I was excited to come down and have a chance to play.
Did you have any other offers? I'm sure as I saw the records that you had in high school, other people wanted you. How many other schools were in the running?
A few. I think my top couple were obviously Indiana and then Michigan, Toledo, and Pitt were my top couple that I was looking at.
I'd say a lot of it probably had to do with whether or not your family could come see you play, and do they get a chance to see all your games here at Indiana University?
Yeah, they definitely. I'm about 5 hours, so they definitely see a decent amount. My parents are divorced, but they usually I have at least somebody at every game, and between them and my grandparents and just like extended family, I'm pretty lucky to have someone at almost every game.
The Hoosiers are having quite a season. You guys, as we do this, the Hoosiers are 16-9. You've got a three-game winning streak going, 11-0, I believe, in Assembly Hall. It's been a long time since you've gone unbeaten in Assembly Hall. What's it like playing over there in that big, storied arena?
Yes, it's awesome. Nowhere else, I think, really compares. Just the fans are awesome. It's a great, great atmosphere and just a great gym.
What kind of a feeling do you get when you're in there? You talked about that a little bit. It's a great atmosphere, but is it hard to focus? And how many fans come into the women's game? I know for the men's game, of course, you get a full house, but what kind of, you get a large amount of fans for the women's games?
It's about 3,000 or 4,000 usually. It's a pretty good amount, and they're pretty loyal fans. We see a lot of the same faces pretty much every game, so that's awesome. And it's just a type of energy they bring, and it's just really cool to play in front of them. And after the game, we get to have a little bit of interaction with people and sign some autographs and talk to them. So that's a really fun thing to do.
It's a big turnaround for the Hoosiers as far as the team goes. This is a team that's in the top 50 in the RPI right now, and you've got a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. Did you feel that coming into this year, you're a sophomore, and you've been a big part of this team since you walked on campus. As you started this season, did you feel like this team had the potential to be where they're at right now?
We had a really good offseason. We worked really hard, and I mean, we believed in ourselves because I think a lot of people from the outside didn't really believe in us. So we're just trying to take it one game at a time and keep working hard and keep getting better, and hopefully good things happen.
You started all 31 games as a freshman. So you walked in here and you were ready to play right away. Was that expected? Did the coaches kind of promise you that when you walked in here, you were going to be a big part of the team from the beginning?
No, I wouldn't say it was expected. I don't know. I just kind of came, and we were a young team, and I just tried my best, and I was fortunate enough to get that spot and get that role. So I just tried to do the best I could at it.
Was there an adjustment period here playing at Assembly Hall from the freshman standpoint and to the place that you're at now? Was there kind of an adjustment period of playing on this biggest stage?
Mm-hmm. I just definitely say the speed and just physicality of everything was different from high school, and just how everyone's so good. Like, the people at the end of the bench are the best players from their high school and where they came from, and just everyone plays at such a high level.
How about the practice sessions? Were they a little more intense than what you ran into in high school?
Yes. We always joke around about how in high school we thought things were, like, so hard, and it's not even comparable to now, like, our conditioning and everything. But it's good for us, and it strengthens the team.
You got off to a good start. Now, I looked at your record. The first game last year, you guys played Gardner-Webb. You had 15 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block, and you were 6-for-8 shooting from the field. That was your first game. That kind of surprised you a little bit. I mean, Gardner-Webb, of course, is a team that you play, not a large-type school, but how did you feel after your first game? Did you feel like, boy, I've got some confidence, I can play on this level?
I was happy we won, and yes, definitely my teammates and coaches were confident in me to come in and have a role on the team, so I think that it was good that I saw that I could do it, but I was just kind of looking to the next game and not really getting too caught up in it.
Clyde, High School.
Yes.
You had a 4-year career, 99-6 you guys were there. You didn't lose very often, of course, and 3 times you were the Division II Player of the Year. What was your best moment on the court at Clyde? What do you remember most?
Well, my dad was my coach, and I'm from a small town, so I grew up with the same girls, and they're my best friends, and we're all on the same team. And we played in the regional finals, so this is the game before going to state my junior year. We played Toledo Rogers, and they had about 7 Division I people, and I was the only person from my high school that won Division I. And then we had a bunch of other good players, but we weren't supposed to win, and we beat them, so then we got to go to state, and it was just a really cool moment because we worked really hard for it, and we were juniors that year, so we were kind of the leaders of the team, and it was just a really cool experience.
Tell me about the size of your school. Now, of course, in Indiana, we have 4 classes, 4A's the biggest, 1A's the smallest. What size class was your high school?
Division 1's the biggest, and Division 4 is the smallest, so we were Division 2. We were about a small Division 2 school. It was my town, and then a village that was pretty close to us, and all the country area in between and around us. So that's how we pushed them together, and that's how we got bumped up to Division II.
I have interviewed a number of players, particularly a number of female basketball players who have played for their dad. Mm-hmm. What was it like playing for your dad? He's kind of a storied coach there. What was it like being a part of your dad's team?
Yeah, it was really awesome. A lot of people have had issues with it, but we handled it really well, and my dad's a really good coach and a good person, so it was a lot of fun. We did a pretty good job of separating it out and, you know, playing or talking about basketball at basketball and talking about everything else at home and not intermingling a ton. And, you know, how some people can get in arguments about that and it kind of overlaps. So I think we did a good job of separating it out.
I think a good example that I can think of, Shayna Zolman, who was from, played at Tennessee and was from Wawasee up in northern Indiana. She went on to play in the WNBA. Do you feel like there was a time in your life? I know in her life, she said that from very early on, 4 years old, 5 year old, she pretty well knew what path she was going to be on. How about you? Did you feel like that you had the skills? Did you feel like going in that maybe at a very early age that you were going to be able to play at a pretty high level?
I mean, my whole life, I kind of just, I don't want to say expected it, but that's what I kind of knew what I wanted. So I was in the gym before I was a week old, just because my dad was the coach and my mom would take me and see all the girls. So I don't know. I just kind of grew up around the gym, and it's just kind of what I knew and what I love. So, I mean, I just kind of what I wanted, so it kind of worked out.
And then you probably had a key to the gym also, right?
Yes, my dad did, so it worked out pretty well.
You could go play whenever you wanted to. How about the other members of your team? Obviously, if you go 99-6, it's not just you alone. There's other members. Where did they end up, and where are they playing?
I have one girl that went Division II. She's actually at St. Joseph College in northern Indiana. Mm-hmm. It's about 4 hours from here, so I don't see her ton, even though she's still in the same state. But and then we had 2 other girls go to Division III schools, so I don't think either of them are playing anymore, but they had a good freshman year.
Tell me about Clyde. Clyde, Ohio, small town. What's the most exciting thing to do in Clyde, Ohio?
Most exciting thing to do? Yeah, we had to be a little creative, but we have a pretty nice little pool and park area, so that was kind of fun. And I don't know, just messing around with my friends, we would find stuff to keep us occupied.
Lots of things to do, and of course, when you get into a town like that, I know friends are very important, like you said. Amanda Cahill is our guest. She's a member of the IU women's basketball team that's doing very, very well right now. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll find out a little bit more about her personally. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Amanda Cahill, and she's a member of the Indiana University basketball team. Probably the team right now is as good as they have been since the 2008-2009 season. You got a chance to go to the NCAA tournament, which would be the first time that's happened since 2002. You've talked about your adjustment of playing in the Big Ten and about how it's a little faster, a little taller, and you certainly have adjusted to that by being one of the top players, not only here, but one of the top players in the Big Ten. Do you feel like now you're the leader in a way, even though you guys are a young team? You got Tyra Buss on this team, and you guys, do you feel like that you now need to take on some leadership roles, or that you are one of the leaders in this team, both on and off the court?
Yeah, I'd say definitely one of them. Just having a year under my belt and this year as well, I think that's prepared me to kind of step into that role. So I would definitely say I am.
I know that one thing that's important to you is your Christian faith. And anytime, of course, for Face to Face for the last 25 years, what we've done is talk about athletes who have a Christian faith. What does your Christian faith mean to you personally?
I mean, it means everything. God's the most important relationship in my life. And I don't know. I just being in this situation, it makes me really thankful and blessed to, just to see all that he's provided for me, and it's just a really cool thing.
How long have you had the Christian faith? When did Jesus Christ come into your life?
Well, I grew up in a home. We would go to church. So I'd say definitely in high school is when I was saved and I got more, I'd say, personally involved with it and not just going with my parents and just kind of being around it.
Was there a moment, was there a certain experience that you had that brought you closer, or was it just kind of a gradual thing that happened over time?
I would say definitely just a gradual thing. I kind of just started to really know and really focus on that more.
With your schedule here at IU, you've got a lot of things that go on besides basketball. You've got classes. You have to be very organized as far as your time. You've got practice. Travel can be brutal. I know that, particularly when you have to go now, the Big Ten used to be kind of in the Midwest. Now you've got Maryland and Rutgers and Penn State and all these other mm-hmm. places. How do you stay strong both physically and mentally in all of this?
Mm-hmm. I have a couple girls on the team that are also Christians, and they help a lot, and I'm involved in FCAIA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Action, and we meet on Wednesdays, which sometimes conflicts with games, but that's a really great group of athletes that are in the similar situations as me, and they all are strong in their faith as well, so that's fun to meet with them and talk to them, and I think that helps a lot.
Is that a high priority? Obviously, it is something that you want to do, but with the schedule that you have, do you find yourself almost getting to a place to where you say, well, I've got this to do and this to do and I can't go tonight, or is it mm-hmm. something that kind of is at the top of your list to be a part of that?
Yes, I definitely say it's important for me. Sometimes it's just hard because we have obviously games on Wednesdays and I can't skip games for it, but yes, it's whenever we aren't playing, I really try to make it, and another one of my teammates is on the, as well, so we usually are on the same schedule and try and make it together, so it's a lot of fun.
Do you is it important to have a Christian influence on the team as far as the character goes of the team, or as far as the way you guys conduct yourself both on and off the court, is that something that's important to the team, or is it kind of just something that's within you and two or three of your teammates and you have to kind of let it go the other way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say it's definitely something that's important. Most of the team is actually Christian. A couple aren't, but I think just the overall feel for the team is we're all pretty good people and hold similar values. So I think it's something that's important, just how we carry ourselves and how we want to be known.
You've kind of come on as a sophomore now. You're the leading rebounder at 8.3 a game. You're the second leading scorer. You've had 8 double-doubles. That's the most of anyone that's happened since 2008-2009. What do you need to do to improve your game? You're a sophomore. You've got 2 years, I would assume, ahead of you. What do you want to do to make your game better and to make your game more consistent, if anything?
Mm-hmm. I would say I just work on my defense a little more. A couple of times I've gotten beat and just being more versatile on defense. And also I've been getting a little bit of foul trouble here and there, so just being a little bit smarter about that and not as foul prone.
What's been your biggest moment so far as a Hoosier? You guys have traveled a little bit. You've been able to do some things in the preseason. Mm-hmm. What's been your biggest moment so far as a Hoosier? What memory stands out right now?
A couple come to mind. Beating Penn State last year in the tournament was really cool. That was a fun experience in the Big Ten tournament. And then honestly, this year, it was actually pretty not too long ago, but coming back against Iowa is pretty cool. We had a big game call last week against them, and we were down 17, I'm pretty sure, in the fourth. Was it in the third or fourth quarter? I'm not sure. But we came back and won, and that was really cool as well because that was a big win for us.
That's big in the Big Ten, mm-hmm. and I think you guys have gotten on a winning streak, and to the Big Ten tournament's got to be very important. You get a chance to play in some big arenas like Bankers Life Arena and some other places like that. Do you still feel the aura a little bit of walking into places like that or coming out to play at Assembly Hall, or have you had a kind of push that aside and focus strictly on your game?
Yeah, it's still really cool. I think Nebraska, we're traveling there next week, and I think that will be the last Big Ten school that we haven't seen yet, and the people in my grade, me, Tyra, and Jess. So we're excited to go there, and after that we'll see all the schools, and it's just really cool to see the differences and just how awesome they all are, and it's just a cool opportunity.
I know another thing that makes you a leadership off the course is your academic. You were just named academic all-district. That's the first time it's happened to an Indiana Hoosier since 1999. What does that mean to you?
It's something that my dad's a teacher, and my mom's always been really really valued grades, I guess. So I think it's something that I'm proud of because they're really proud of it, and something that, I mean, education is very important to my family. So I'm just happy that I was able to do it, and especially with basketball, just be able to focus on my grades too.
Yeah, I understand that you're an L-Ed major and that maybe you'd like to come back and be a coach. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I definitely like to coach at least high school. I'm not sure exactly, but yes, I'd like to teach.
With the stats that you've got, with the team the way it is right now, you've also got a chance to play some ball. I know this is 2 years away, but you've got a chance to play some ball beyond this. You go to the WNBA, you go to Europe, where a lot of female athletes go and a lot of female basketball players go. Is that on your radar? Is that on your horizon?
I haven't really thought about it too much, but who knows? We'll see you when we get there.
Amanda, it's been great talking to you, and again, congratulations on the big year that you're having. Congratulations on the year that Indiana's having. I'd like to close our time together today with this. Do you have a favorite verse from the Bible that means a lot to you, that kind of stands out with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely say my favorite verse is probably Romans 12:28. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I actually have it on a little necklace. So
that's something that's very important to you. Why is that verse so important to you?
I just think it's something that you have to always keep in mind, because when people do stuff that isn't necessarily good, instead of the natural instinct is to want to do it back to them, but instead you just have to overcome that and show them God's love and their light and be a good person.
With the competition that you run into on the floor, I'm sure you can find that verse coming in very handy sometimes.
Yes, definitely.
If you're going one-on-one. Amanda Cahill, thanks for being a part of Face to Face today. Good luck
Thank
with the
you.
Hoosiers, and hope to do this again sometime, maybe when you're in the WNBA.
Thank you.
All right. Amanda Cahill's been our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed our time with Amanda Cahill, and what a fine young lady she is. I mean that in just in the fact that she's such a great Christian, and you know, it's in this day and age, when you have so much negativity among teams and players and individuals, it's been kind of a rough year for college basketball, particularly on the men's side, with all that's happened with Louisville and all the various other teams that have struggled a little bit. It's great to know that you've got a team that's got some Christian athletes, and Indiana University had them with Amanda, with Tyra Buss, with Allie Patberg coming up, and just a great culture. In fact, I understand that they even had a Bible study, and I know that doesn't get a lot of attention, but we're just really happy to hear about that. So Amanda Cahill on the Indiana University team, congratulations to them to win that, and congratulations to Amanda for just being a real strong testimony for Jesus Christ. Well, if you want to hear this interview and hear the other interviews that we've had, go to our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com, facetofaceradio.com, and you can check out not only the interviews that we've had, but we've also got a little section on the Indiana University team, the Indiana University women's team, with a number of pictures, including Amanda, and some of the action shots that were taken during the course of the year. So hope you'll check that out. Facetofaceradio.com. We invite you to take a look at that, if you will. Well, we want to close today by giving you a verse from one of the minor prophets, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 13. And here's what it says: "Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling." You know, I've been doing a little study of the minor prophets, and there's just a lot of good stuff in there. There's a lot of good language and a lot of good insights into how God works, and we really sometimes kind of fly over that as we're going to the Gospels, which are, of course, very important, and the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, "Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling." That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face. We'll be right back.